I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, Monday. What's up? Welcome in. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Doug Williams, MVP, Super Bowl 22. Joins the show at 4:40 today. Looking forward to that. What's up, Daniel?
Bigger number, my friend. Caps goals last night or Nationals runs over their last four games?
That would be Capitals goals last night.
Capitals. 8 goals. They broke out, didn't they? That was fun.
They were due for one of those.
Here's what I liked. Boston got nothing and the Caps got everything. That was enjoyable to watch. That felt good. It kind of cleansed away the sweepage. Cleansed away the, 1-5 national start. That felt good. That's a nice way to end the weekend.
Let's clap it up for the Caps who scored last night. Little goal roll call. TJ Oshie.
That's TJ Oshie, everybody.
2 goals last night.
Very handsome.
Lars Eller.
Anybody scored a game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup? Lars, what's up, buddy? How are you, pal?
2 goals last night. How about Connor Sherry?
Connor Sherry. By the way, Connor Sherry is a thing.
He can play.
It's a thing.
Brian McClellan's a thing. He seems to know what he's doing.
I think he's good.
Tom Wilson against the Bruins.
Tom Wilson. Oh, thanks, Darius.
Thank you, Darius. Leading to boos in Boston.
Aren't they nice?
Can't beat that
with a stick.
Isn't
it fun?
Can't beat that with Tom Wilson's fist. And Nick Dowd, ladies and gentlemen.
How about Dowd getting on the board?
If you're saying, well, that sounds like a lot of goals, it's because they scored 8 of them. Couple of wins over the weekend for the Capitals. They did the opposite of the Nats this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say really quick, the NHL trade deadline is at 3 o'clock today. The Caps made one very minor move. They sold. They didn't buy yet. They haven't done anything yet to add to the roster. But the quiet move they made over the weekend was that they moved on from defenseman Jonas Siegenthaler, got a third-round pick, and freed up $1 million. Feels to me like the first move you make to then make another move.
The move before the move?
We're 56 minutes away from the deadline, so we'll see if that actually happens. But they freed up cap space. They got a draft pick. If they are adding anything, they'll probably have to put picks together, and they need some space to do it. So it makes some sense to me that this Siegenthaler move would be the precursor of something else. But I wonder if McClellan today's feeling a little pressure to do something because the Penguins have upgraded their bottom six. They went and got a center, Jeff Carter, who's 36 and a 2-time cup champ, who averages about a half a point a game this year. The Islanders made a huge trade where they went and made a deal with the Devils to bring in 2 quality veterans in Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac. And the Bruins just today bringing in Taylor Hall, who's an MVP 3 years ago, who's now 29 years old. So those are 3 of the teams you're trying to come out of the East from.
And right.
I would say your toughest 2 competitors are the Penguins, who have a soft schedule the rest of the way, the Islanders. But the Bruins, who you just blew out by 7, are a playoff-bound team potentially as
They're a threat.
They've all made moves, and you haven't done anything yet. So I wonder if Mac's feeling the heat a little bit.
Not a ton of flexibility for the Caps, although that move does help. They free up a little bit of space, right, with moving on from Siegenthaler, who mostly was in suits watching games here, not getting a sweater. But, it's one of the things. When you've got a team built the way the Capitals are, where they're very top-heavy in terms of salary because their stars are stars, you don't have a ton of room. It's usually middle to back-end type moves that have to pan out for you. I mean, the one I always point to is kind of that magic touch was that Michael Kempney move a couple seasons ago where he ended up playing great as one of their prime defensemen on a Stanley Cup champion. So good luck, Mac. It's really tight to thread the needle through. You got to give up what you can to get somebody that's going to certainly be an upgrade. But you're right. There is pressure to do something.
As far as the Nats sweep goes, we were anticipating a slow start for this team when we found out they were without 34% of their roster. They got some of those players back. They don't have all of their players back yet. it's going to be an ugly first couple of weeks. We knew that. The goal has to be, though, to stay afloat. The goal cannot be to have the worst record in baseball. You can't be okay with the worst winning percentage in Major League Baseball, which is what they've got right now at 1-5 after getting swept by the Dodgers. They've been shut out in three of their last four games.
Yep.
You weren't going to hit, you weren't going to score a lot after the fifth spot in your order because Stevenson and Hernan Perez isn't out right now and walking strikeout. Luis Garcia, whoever it is. Like, you got guys that are being asked to do something that they shouldn't be asked to do right now. So basically, your top of your order, your Robles, Turner, Soto, Zimmerman, Castros, they've got to be awesome. I mean, Jordy Mercer was hitting fifth yesterday. Jordy Mercer is kind of a major league player.
Ish.
Yeah. Batting fifth in your order yesterday right. against Clayton Kershaw.
Right.
But shut out three of their last four games. Couple of notable things that happened over the weekend. Juan Soto, who's off to a very good start, hitting over 300 with an OPS over 1,000. A multi-homer game on Saturday night against the Dodgers. Good to see him get going with the power. He and Trey Turner are the only Nats to this point that have homered this season. And Max Scherzer, after his outing where he gave up the four solo shots, was actually really, really good.
A sun fly ball away from being throwing shutout baseball.
He needed to throw shutout baseball because they never scored. But six innings, one run, five Ks for Max. I liked what I saw from him. And in fact, this feels like forever ago now because you and I haven't been on the air since Friday. But Joe Ross. Started that series in the 3-0 shutout loss, doing what he did. Or I should say that was the 1-0 game to kick off the series. Five innings of two-hit ball. Couldn't have asked for more out of Joe Ross. So this was not a pitching issue, really. Right. For the Nationals.
Yeah, pitching's been plenty good enough for the most part. I mean, Patrick Corbin got shelled and Eric Fetty got shelled, but most of their starts have been adequate to plus even. They've lost three games in which their starting pitching gave up a combined one run. So just let you know kind of where they are. And getting Bell back eventually, Schwarber back eventually, Harrison back in the lineup eventually, that's going to help. But that doesn't, you know, change Victor Robles getting thrown out at second in a tight game, you know, not being able to get the ball in play for a sacrifice fly or just squeeze a run or two across, right? You're not going to be anywhere near as good without those guys. But just to kind of quantify this, GP, you mentioned Trey Turner and Juan Soto have homers. They don't have a home run from catcher, first base, second base, third base, left field, center field. Six of their eight positions have not contributed in really barely any extra base hits. A couple bloop doubles in there.
In fairness,
but
it's
no
been
power.
A total of six games. So there's probably plenty of teams in baseball that'll have a lot of positions with a homer through six games. But the point stands. You knew that you had to be carried by those other guys because you're down a bunch of other options.
Yeah. And so, you know, Bell and Schwarber coming back isn't going to all of a sudden make Patrick Corbin again. Now, I'm hoping that's just, hey, that's a funky start. It was weird. His schedule's all thrown off, flying across the country, late clearance, et cetera. But our data here is he was not good last year. He was awfully hittable last season, talking about Patrick Corbin. He was sensational in 2019. We saw in the postseason. We know the score. It's concerning, is all I'm saying. That those guys coming back doesn't necessarily change him. He's got to change him.
I got a tweet from someone, and you get a lot of these kind of interactions with fans when things aren't going well. But this was right after, I think they lost the second game to the Dodgers, and they were 1-4. And the guy said, it's a fun season while it lasted. See you in 2022 or something like that. And you know, I said, well, you're being a little bit dramatic. And he said, this is exactly what happens every year. You know, they're off to a terrible start. I said, yeah, it's hard to get off to a good start when you're without 34% of your roster on opening day and you still haven't had any of your top three acquisitions of the offseason plays. Like, that's an excuse. Cool. Call it whatever
you want.
Has Josh Bell batted yet? Because that was their biggest offseason addition. Has Kyle Schwarber been in the batter's box yet? Now, I'm not a huge Kyle Schwarber guy, but he's got at least some power to run into some pitches to hit a ball over the fence every six games or, you know, seven, eight games potentially. I'll tell you who I am worried about is Tanner Rainey. Tanner Rainey's velocity is down 4 or 5 miles an hour. He looks extremely hittable. He's given up home runs now in both of his appearances in tight games where you don't have Brad Hand start of the year. They finally got a first outing out of their new closer Hand yesterday. But you don't have the luxury without Harris, without Hand until now, for Rainey to get off to the start he got off to. He's been worrisome to me.
Yeah, my hand is up for concern, but I know I'm being told not to be concerned. I'll be concerned until further notice. By the way, I love the idea. This is what always happens. You mean when they go on to average more than 90 wins a year since 2012?
Right.
Is that what always happens? Yeah, sometimes they don't turn it around. Like, you know, 2018 where they won 82 games, or 2013 where they won 86 games, or 2015 when they only won 83 games. Again, always over 500, by the way. A lot of organizations would kill for that run of success that they just had. I understand they're not the Dodgers. There's one of those. There's the Dodgers. Then everyone else is among the regular mortals. It's a pretty good run that they've been on here. So they deserve some benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, and I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, particularly with what they're going through right now. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make it any less frustrating watching the game.
Right.
When they can't come through with these hits with runners in scoring position. And they're actually out hitting the Dodgers in all those games. And they could just never score any runs.
Yeah, you got to pile 7-8 hits, three or four consecutive hits together. Much harder to score that way when everyone throws 103.
I bet you didn't watch any of the Masters this weekend.
Correct.
So, I got to tell you,
mm-hmm.
The Masters is really good TV. It just is. Golf on television, there is something about it. When is the last time, and don't do a tough guy bit like you've never done it in your life, because I know you have. When is the last time you watched a golf event on TV?
I watched the one that matters. What's it called? Why am I blanking on it? The Ryder Cup. I watch that one every time. That's legit. That's teams. That's USA versus somebody. You put USA on the jersey, now I'm intrigued.
Ryder Cup, Masters, any of these. I think probably, and I don't, but if I watched a random tournament like the one Spieth won last week, that was not a major and I don't think anybody really cared about, I'll bet you I'd enjoy that too. Golf on TV is really, really good. I can't imagine being there. It's nearly as entertaining or watchable or fun. Just following one person around and not knowing what the rest of the field is doing. But you got top-of-the-line broadcasters like Jim Nantz on the call. The technology they use for ball tracking now. You know me, just as a nerd of broadcast,
mm-hmm.
I think there's something to be said for like the ball tracking device that they use and some of the advancements just in the telecast. Also, golf and the HD and the Super HD and looking at the flight path and the spin of the ball that they have with some of these super zoom cams. I don't know, man. I think it looks really good, and I could just sit there and you get lost in it for 45 an hour, and you look up and you go, what the heck am I still doing? Laying on the couch. It's a very comfortable,
it's quiet, so subdued,
voice.
You know?
I actually was sitting there going, kind of look forward to being 60 with my kids out of the house grown and just sit like this is my Saturday.
Yeah.
Sitting here for 4 hours. But I enjoyed the broadcast. I will tell you that one thing I've noticed is that a lot of golf fans are saying how great like this Masters was because you had a cool story, which was a dominant performance. But here's what I don't get. Hideki Matsuyama dominates, and there's no drama at the end. For the casual fan like me, that's not fun. But if there was drama, if two guys are going back and forth in the 17th, the 18th hole, that's as good as it gets. But then it's also great when a guy dominates and runs away with the field. I don't know. To me, that's not that interesting when one guy is just several shots ahead of everyone else, and there's really no doubt whatsoever about who's going to win.
Yeah, my interesting radar doesn't go off there for any of those scenarios you mentioned, but I realize I'm not the target. But if I'm evaluating, I would say I would bet it's more intriguing if it's nip and tuck. If it's going back and forth, right? Instead of just like the last five holes are just a coronation for somebody.
But that goes without saying, but there was a trying to make it seem like this was interesting that I was gathering. When I don't know anything about anything, and I'm watching, I'm going, Hideki Matsuyama's going to win by strokes. This is very comfortable. This is the equivalent. It almost felt like I was watching a baseball game, and the score was 9-4. And like you would get a single
or
something. It was
like an infield single in the eighth, and they go, here we go.
FP goes, all right, guys, same
seats. Line's moving.
Right, like it's a five-run, six-run game, you know? They're down by a million, and someone like gets a knock. They break a bat, and the ball flails into left field. And an FP says, like, game on, you know, one of those things.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of the broadcast where we were trying so desperately to act like
there
one
was
of these
actual
other
drama.
Dudes
yeah.
had a shot. And it was very clear to me from the middle of the afternoon on, this is Matsuyama's day.
What was Nance's pun for that guy?
I didn't catch it.
Okay.
No, I don't know. He probably wrote one down, though, and delivered it very well. I'm sure
so rehearsed and canned.
I don't know what it was. If someone tweet us at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny and let us know what it was. But I'm sure he had something. What'd you do this weekend?
Big, big weekend for your guys. So first football game for little guy was on Flag was on Sunday. The Patriots is the name of our squad. We are very analytically sound, trading draft picks all the time, run by my guy, Jeremy. He's kind of like our parent captain here, put this whole group together.
Did you guys cut off the audio in the other team's headset?
I basically said, we're willing to cheat a lot. And what were you going to cost us draft picks? You're going to find us some money? That's fine. I'll take all the Super Bowls and all the playoff appearances.
Wait,
please,
Jeremy,
and thank
the
you.
Patriots fan, the guy that
yeah,
I know?
Yeah.
He's the Patriots?
He got to pick the name, so it's Patriots. We're the Patriots.
That's kind of a lot.
He's a Patriots guy.
He does know that we're in this. He is Virginia.
Oh, he knows.
Okay.
He knows very well. So we're the Patriots. Really good group of kids. So the coach is the permanent. They're not quite ready for kid quarterback yet, so the coach is the quarterback. So they got, it's this company called Flagstar. All these really young, former, you know, college and pro football players, like, just love instructing, just come out and do it. Super, super fun. Good for the kids. So they basically installed two plays. They're going to install a couple plays per week so the kids, like, each get a chance to figure out how to do it. And not a lot of adjustments get made by the opponents because we're only running two plays to kind of get started. The jet sweep, wildly effective at this
Ooh,
level.
Danny McVay.
That's what I've learned. I'm not doing it. I have nothing. I'm just a parent.
Jeremy Reed.
Yeah, just basically. And the jet sweep, because you get a kid with some momentum. And these kids are just, the opponents on defense are just watching this kid move. And they got he has a running start and they don't. And he flies around the edge and scores. That's how we scored all three of our touchdowns in our game. That's the jet sweep. The second play, the counter to that, is a fake jet sweep. And then you end up throwing to the same kid. So it's pretty standard. It's a little wheel route off the jet sweep. But there are going to be counters. There are going to be some extra plays that are run as the season goes. But it was a lot of fun. The other thing we did is we went out to Berryville, Virginia. What's your Berryville, Virginia file, guy?
Familiar with Berryville. Why were you in Berryville, Virginia?
My good pal and his family run Chapel Hill Farm out there, where they have this, it's a cattle farm. They sell amazing, high-level, unbelievably good farm-raised beef. And we went out to the cattle farm and just kind of hung out, activities for the kids, UTV rides.
Did you buy beef?
We have many times before. We didn't have a chance to do that this time. Yeah, so like petting cows and seeing chickens and walking the gardens and playing with drones and taking big safari style rides through this, you know, huge property. It was
Sounds
an awesome,
amazing.
Awesome day. Huge weekend for the Hoorays.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, big one.
I guess big accomplishment for us this weekend is we went back home to King George County, Virginia.
Oh, yes, of course.
First time my kids have gotten to go to my parents, their grandparents' house in over a year. My parents are now vaccinated, which is great. First time my youngest has met his cousins and my brother and his wife, his
oh, wow.
aunt and uncle. So it was one of those things where nobody's seen each other for basically
yeah,
a year.
That's right.
We've been on Zooms and on video and occasionally, you know, you stop by the house and look from the car or whatever. But this particular sector of the family I had not seen in a calendar year. So they met my son. They
Isn't that wild to think about like that?
Yeah. And my parents had the kids over at the house for the first time, so the dying Easter eggs a week later and mm-hmm. doing an Easter egg hunt. So
that's cool.
It's a good time. Speaking of good times, you, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, are going to be allowed back in Capital One Arena before the end of this month. We've got the details on getting back to the arena. We want to find out from you, what is the first game, what is the first team you're hoping to support in person? What are you going to prioritize as you get back out to a game? Grant and Danny, we'll get to that next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He's Danny, I'm Grant, you are listening to The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks much for making the show part of your day. You're getting ready to get back to the arena. You're getting ready to get out to Nats Park. You're allowed to. You can put it on the schedule if you want to. It's now up to you as to whether or not you want to grind to get those tickets. As we welcome you back on G&D, want to see what you're going to prioritize getting back to first. And we can open up the phones on the Gambit DC listener lines at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. So here are the notes that I want to pass along from the press release today from Monumental Sports and Entertainment. As we found out on Friday, Danny, 2,100 fans for the Wiz and the Caps. First Wizards game in person, 9 days out, April 21st. First Caps game a little bit further out, about 15 days, 2 weeks from now, on April 27th. They're going to celebrate the return of fans for the Wizards and the Capitals by inviting hundreds of frontline workers. They're going to prioritize the people getting the tickets in the order of season ticket holders and partners and then kind of everybody else.
Right.
As you'd expect, in terms of precautions, face masks will be required. I think anybody older than age 2 needs to have a face mask on. When you enter, you're going to be asked a little health questionnaire.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a fever? Are you having any symptoms? And have you been around anyone who tested positive for COVID? I mean, we've all kind of been asked those things when we've done something, I'm sure, in the last bunch of months.
Yeah, every day I drop my kid off at school. It's that.
Is that the question?
Yeah, you got to do all that stuff.
Electronic tickets only. And I could go through a bunch of these other things, but the last one I'll throw at you are that seats are going to be sold in pods. Basically, from 1 if you want to go by yourself to upwards of 4 if you're taking the family. And there's a dozen other things that they've planned, and how you're getting in, how you're getting out, how the lines are going to work, things like that. But we're doing this. This is not a drill. 2,100 fans at the Caps and the Wizards game, and 10,000 at Nats Park when they come back.
I am excited about it. So if you're asking what am I prioritizing, for me it's going to a Nats game. It's the I didn't, again, we talked about this a lot, at the risk of sort of waxing sentimental, I didn't realize how much that I would miss that. Sometimes we take it for granted because we're right here a couple blocks from Nats Park, and you and I go to a ton of games, and sometimes we'll broadcast from there. I'll stay for a few innings, and, well, I got to get home to the family because, you know, kids and jobs and, you know, a bunch of stuff prioritizes. But being in that ballpark, even though it's not that awesome of a ballpark, to be quite frank with you, like, there are way better and nicer places, but it's ours. It's our kind of, yeah, that rust right there, that's, you know, that could probably use some polish or maybe a new rivet or, you know, sort of whatever it is. That's our place and DC's own spot. And it feels like ours now. Didn't at first, but now it kind of does. It feels like home. Not having been to that ballpark for, what is it now, since World Series Game 5, where I took my pops to a World Series game in 2019. That's a long time to not be in the ballpark. I'm doing that first. I don't know why that feels more pressing, more of a call to me than, say, I don't know, a Caps playoff game. But something about that, something about going to the ballpark, the sounds, the sights, the smells, the just that environment, our house, man. That's the thing I'm going to do first, and I can't wait to do it.
October 27th, 2019.
Yeah.
533 days since we've been in that ballpark.
That's a long time, dude.
That's a long time. I get it. I am going to be prioritizing a Caps playoff game.
By the way, that's more reasonable than what I'm saying.
I don't think so. Honestly,
it's a playoff game.
It's a playoff game, sure, but I get what you're saying. I mean, there will be an emotional reaction for me when I'm watching baseball in a ballpark again. Absolutely. I don't know that there's right or wrong answers here. I'm going to go Caps playoff game as my number one seed and what I'm most looking forward to because of the energy in the building and just the pizzazz, the electricity at that arena. But it probably won't feel that way. Like, everything I love and think about the Caps and going to those games live and their building, their environment, being the best in town, it's all based on the fact that they sell out and the other teams don't. You know, that they pack the joint and everyone's loud. They're not going to be able to pack the joint. I mean, inside, 2,100 could sound okay, I think, if everyone's throaty, but I am, in my mind, picturing myself at the arena during the cup run with 20,000 people all wearing the same thing, looking like we shop at the same store, all screaming at the top of our lungs. And to me, that's what Caps playoff hockey looks and sounds like. And this will not look or sound anything like that. So maybe it'll be a little bit of a letdown when there's only 2,000 people there. But I'll let you know, because I'm going to try to find out.
Right. I'd rather be disappointed and know firsthand because I'm there. Yeah.
There's something to be said, too. 10,000 people, even in a bigger ballpark at Nats Park.
Yeah.
You're still talking about five times as many people. That will feel somewhat natural. And I'm not joning, but there are times early in the season where you might have 10, 11, 12,000 people at a Nats game or less.
I can't go on a weeknight in March, April, or May while kids are in school.
Yeah.
I could, but it's like I got to juggle a lot. I get it. It's not easy.
But I've probably been to games there when there are around 10,000 people. It's not that crazy when you're sitting there. If no one told you, hey, the global pandemic just happened and there's only 10,000 allowed today. If you're just going to a Tuesday or Wednesday night game and there's 10,000 people sitting there in the first week of May, while not as many as probably would be there in a normal year, it's not egregious. It's going to be very obvious and very noticeable at a Wizards game or a Caps game when there's only 2,000 people in the entire arena that this is being capped. I wonder how the Wizards will do the rest of the way. People have not been able to go see Russell Westbrook, who is having a fun enough and impressive enough year that I think he's going to draw some attention. If you're a diehard Hoops fan in this town, maybe it'll depend on who they're playing. But Bradley Beal is on his way potentially to the scoring title. I mean, there's a couple of draws there. They're not accomplishing as a team what anybody wanted them to.
Yeah, the blue may be off the rose there. Not even maybe. I'm sure it is, for a lot of fans are disappointed. But if this had happened at the start of the season, the initial excitement over, dude, Russell Westbrook's here. Here come the triple-doubles and Thomas Bryant. There was juice. Then, of course, they started off, 3-12, and kind of canceled that. But I'll go. I'd like to go. I want to go in person.
If I got a text from someone, and I think, by the way, those tickets will be the easiest to get.
But yeah, that stands to reason, right?
There's 10,000 Nats tickets. I don't know. Maybe it's close. But I would think, like, comparatively, 2,100 Wizards fans, 2,100 Caps fans, I think getting a ticket to go see the Caps is going to be borderline impossible.
That's going to be hard.
I'm going to have to work really hard and spend a lot more money than I want to. That's my plan right now. Wizards game, if someone hit me up and texted me and said, hey, I got an extra ticket to go see the Wiz tomorrow night, I would be jacked up. I'd be more excited than I've been in years. A, I haven't been to a game in forever. And B, when's the last time I've been to a Wizards game? I would be thrilled to go to a Wiz game. So I wonder if they benefit from that. Just the supply and demand of there's only 2,100 of these. Yeah, people want to get out.
Just anecdotally, it's a DCPS spring break this week, DC Public Schools. So all of my friends, except for us, because I'm here, I'm doing the gig, but everybody else is out of town. People are doing stuff now, whether we're supposed to be or not. I think everyone is just sick of it, of staying at home and maintaining the rules, and nobody's really sure what the rules are and whatever. People in public are still wearing masks. I see that, and that's good. I'm all in favor of it. You tell me what the rule is, I'll follow the rule. But the point is, people are doing stuff now. And I think all the teams will benefit from that, simply because people just want activities. We have been cooped up for so damned long that people just want to get out. They want to do things. They're willing to go. So even if it's, you know, Wizards Hornets, which is not the most tantalizing matchup in the world, I still think people are going to buy tickets to that thing. They'll all be tough tickets, I imagine. So, yeah, I think there will be some benefit from that from the home teams.
All right, so the three things that you missed the most, you and I can rank ours, and then we can take some calls on this next. We'll open up the Gambit DC listener lines for you guys at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. All right, let me be a fat guy for a second, a fatter guy than I once was, thanks to the pandemic. Chicken tender basket. Chicken tender basket and
French
fries.
That's what you miss the most.
That's one of the things I've missed the most about going to a game. The Aramark, like stadium fare.
Yeah.
It's out of the, you know, the frozen bag and into the fryer.
It's so like middle. It's exactly what it is.
I can't wait to go spend $16.50 on a That's chicken amazing. Tender basket and French fries and Coca-Cola Classic or Coke Zero from a concession stand at the arena. That's number three. Number two, the sounds of the arena. I'm talking a national just went deep. Juan Soto just hit a ball over the right field fence. Maybe it's into the second deck, and they fire up a little Chuck Brown. How about I'm at COA, and Ovechkin is in his office on the power play, and he scores a goal to take a 2-1 lead. I miss hearing that goal horn. I need to hear it.
There you go.
And then the number one on the list, maybe, of the things I miss about being at a game, I thought about 100 different things I could have said, but I'm going to go with the first time you see the surface. The first time you walk out into the seats and you see the court, or you see the field, or you see the ice. You know what I'm talking about, that feeling.
Oh, of course.
You get.
Yeah. When, because you're in the arena, or you're in the place. Yeah, you're in the concourse, you're around, and you walk through that tunnel, and it opens
like
up, and you're in.
The scene out of Wizard of Oz or something where there's just color everywhere.
Yeah, you're into the bowl, right?
You walk out into the bowl, and boom, there it is. That's what I've missed the most. That's my number one on my list.
The shared experience, and this is a little bit too broad and unfair, but that's what it is. It's the ball is hit. The outfielder has turned and is on his horse and is going towards the wall. And there's that anticipation. Everyone's doing the same thing. It's involuntary. The, oh, did it? Oh, there's a little buzz. The buzz in the arena or the stadium, whatever it is. The buzz, because we're all experiencing the same thing at the same time live. We're not being passed through satellites and kicked into cables and dishes and everything else. You know, maybe a minute later, it's all right there live after the crack of the bat. That shared experience where we're all feeling the highs, lows, and everything in between. That's the thing that I have missed the most. Number two, the sounds and smells. The sounds and smells. Arena sounds a certain way, smells a certain way. I could smell the peanuts already. I could feel the energy of that fryer and the buzz in the air because I can smell it and I hear those sounds of a ballpark, whether it's the lawnmower, whether it's batting practice, whether it's chatter, whether it's guys joking with each other.
Banging around the corner because someone's like throwing bags of ice onto pile.
The whole thing. Or someone's hitting the trash can because they know what's coming. I tell you, I miss all of those sounds. And then number three, I'm talking about that stadium food. It's so funny you mentioned chicken tenders.
You're just taking my chicken tenders bit.
It's not chicken tenders I'm specifically missing. I miss an irresponsible meal. One that's not good for me, that costs twice as much as it should. Please, immediately, give me that. I want to go sit in line at Shake Shack, not get fries there, and go next door and get fries at the fry joint. Okay?
Box Frites.
I want a meal that's irresponsible. I want a ridiculous, stupid, over-the-top meal, and maybe I have a milkshake.
What game, what team do you guys hope to get to first? What is your priority as you get back out to games? That's the first question. On the Gambit DC listener lines at 800-636-1067, what have you been missing the most? I also want to add to my list, doing bits. I miss pretending like I'm the guy who's teaching the person next to me all about the game, but I'm using incorrect information. That's my favorite bit. So, like, my wife's sitting next to me, and she always gets so mad when I do this stuff. But I'm like, you see that guy out there in left field? He's been here 4 years. He hit the game-winning home run in Game 3 of the World Series. And I always do a weird voice. And, like, that's Kyle Schwarber. And very clearly,
right, it's not
he
true.
Signed this offseason, and he's in his second game as a National. But no one around me knows that I know that.
Right.
They think I'm just saying everything wrong.
So now are you going to get corrected? Do you
That's
hope to get
bit.
Corrected?
That's yeah. the bit, is the interaction. Someone corrects me, and then I argue with them about my information. And I'm like, no, he's been here for 4 years. They drafted him in the second round at a Texas El Paso.
I'm with your wife on this one.
Oh, it's so fun. So I miss doing bits. And the worst is when I'm doing a bit, and someone's like, are you Grant Paulson? And then I'm like, oh, no.
Damn it.
That backfired.
Now you have to explain. This is a bit that I do where I pretend not to know.
I swear this is just something weird that I'm doing. 800-636-1067 is the number on G&D.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Starting with the Nets, who started their season a little bit earlier this month, allowing 5,000 fans per game. That's 12% of the park's capacity. Now the city is bumping that up to 25%. So that's going to be more than 10,000 fans at home games moving forward. The soccer team, DC United, will also be able to bump up their capacity at Audi Field from 10% to 25% for their first home game, April 17th. And then, of course, the Wizards and the Caps, they are going to actually be able to have fans now moving forward, and that was a question mark, and they'll open up at 10% starting Tuesday when the Caps return.
It's the voice of Michael Bryce Sadler of the Washington Post broke the story on Friday. Fans were coming back to the arenas, stadiums in D.C. Nats going from 5,000 to 10,000 fans, 2,100 for the Wizards and the Caps, and we now know the specific dates of when you'll be allowed to go to those games. The Wizards will open their slate to fans on April 21st against the Warriors. Get to see Steph Curry at Capital One Arena if you're one of the lucky few. And for the Capitals, April 27th in a huge game against the Islanders, who they're vying for a division crown against. Things getting fun for the Caps. Today is the trade deadline as they are jockeying for position at the top of the East Division. And, of course, the Nationals off to a 1-5 start. Right now, worst win percentage in baseball. They should be getting more bodies back, hopefully tonight. Davey said yesterday it sounds like they could be getting a couple players back before they start their series with the Cardinals this evening.
Should turn my mic on. That's the hope.
Why
obviously.
Do you want to turn your mic on?
Well, it's just a different way to do the show. Like, I could sit here and talk in a room and not have it go on the radio. That's a different way to do the show. I should turn it on, I think, to do the actual program with my pal Grant Paulson. But yeah, that's the hope, is within the next couple days. So hopefully that means that, obviously, not only those guys A-OK, passed all the protocols, et cetera, but getting those presences back in the lineup, because it's unfair to expect them to be good right away, right? That's hard. You got to get ramped up. This is such a rhythm game. You need to start that process of them getting back to being themselves ASAP. So hopefully those guys are in the lineup, if not tonight, tomorrow.
Let's go to Ben in Rockville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Ben?
Hey, Ben.
Hey, guys. Long time. Hey, listen, as far as Wizards, I'm counting them out immediately. I just am. As far as fans, I'm going to go with the Capitals. Nationals, they've had a tumultuous time, especially the whole COVID thing and the way they're playing, especially in the NL right now. The NL is just loaded. The Dodgers, they're scary. But I would say I think that the Capitals, from what I understand from most people that I've spoken with, customers, et cetera, they're all excited about going to the Caps. And a lot of people, they never even knew about this whole the way they're allowing fans back in. People have been screaming at me going, oh my God, Capitals are allowing fans in. I can't wait to go to the game. I'm going to pay as much money as possible to go see the Capitals.
Yeah, so I wonder, Ben, what those ticket prices on the secondary market might look like for the playoffs. Because that number of fans, 2,100, is very minimal compared to what other teams around the league are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to complain. I've been begging for fans. You gave me 2,100. I'll take it.
We just asked for some. We got some.
Right.
This is me not complaining about that.
I'd love, as they get closer and closer to the cup, if they go on a run, to up that number, a handful of thousand here or there. But 2,100 is what you're giving me. I'll take 2,100. That's an easy number, I think, to keep very safe.
Absolutely.
In a massive arena. I wonder what people are going to be paying. And by people, I mean me.
I'm people.
I'm going to be going to at least one or more of those games. And it's not like in the past where you can just get a ticket from someone or find a ticket or someone's going to call you and say, hey, you want to come to the Caps game with me? So your boy's going to be shelling out some dough for a couple of seats. Let's go to Steve in Fredericksburg on Grant and Danny. What's up, Steve? How are you?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, fellas, doing good. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I hate to derail your topic, but I think there's something that Danny needs to know. It's pretty important.
Oh.
Ooh.
Back in the early 90s, my wife and I and our two younger kids lived in King George County in Claydale. And Grant and his brothers and sisters used to play at our house a lot. And our kids used to play at their house a lot. And Danny, Grant Paulson was the cutest.
Hey, now.
Most well-behaved.
Wow.
My man.
This is a plan.
Who are your kids?
Nicest little Britt and Laura Calloway.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen Britt or Laura Calloway.
Well, I got to tell you, the look on his face, he didn't believe you at first, sir.
I did.
I'll tell you that.
I'm like, what is he about to say?
That was a skeptical look that Grant had, but now there's recognition.
Steve, I haven't. What's up? We're catching up like old times on the radio here.
It's been forever, and Britt and Laura are both married, have successful careers, and three kids each.
Wow. Very, very cool.
Britt's down in Midlothian, Laura's right here in Fredericksburg, and I run into your dad now and then. I have not seen Janine in years and years and years, but I've run into your father over the years.
But most importantly, I was the cutest kid.
Grant was adorable.
That's what I took away from
this
call.
That's the takeaway.
Grant was a well-mannered, adorable little guy.
My man.
I believe that.
He's successful. Yeah.
I believe all of that. If one word for me, if we're doing word association with our friends, you know, like Darius, thorough, Grant, adorable, no problem there.
That's the word?
Adorable.
What a great call that was.
Look at that.
By Steve.
What are you going to miss most about going to games? I have something that supersedes that for you guys. Grant was precious.
I was adorable.
Grant was adorable,
that
and he was so nice.
A nice little boost to the ego.
How about
from
that?
Steve.
That time you were cute.
Steve, it is great to hear from you. I don't think I've talked to Steve since 1996. Maybe 1998, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. Good catching up.
Way to go, Steve.
With thousands listening. I appreciate that and appreciate the phone call. But, Danny, one more time. The word that you would use for me is?
Adorable.
You know what I would use for you?
What's up?
Funny.
Hey.
I'd call you funny.
Neato
Danny.
Gang.
I might even call you humorous Danny.
Oh, this guy.
On the right day. I want to get into replay and whether it's working next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.